Let's join together in prayer. Gracious God, by the presence of your Spirit, may you take these words from the pages of Scripture and speak them into the pages of our lives. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and dreams and meditations of our hearts be delightful in your sight. For Lord, you are our strength and our Redeemer. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. He once was dead, and now he's alive. Although actually, my older brother Roger was, in the words of Miracle Max from The Princess Bride, only mostly dead. Last Monday, he underwent open-heart surgery. And several of you here have gone through that experience as well and lived to tell about it. And so you know that when you enter into this experience, it is harrowing. It is anxiety-ridden. It is a fearful experience. You are literally putting your life into the hands of others. I mean, after all, they physically have to open you up, skeleton and all. They have to stop your heart. Think about that for a minute. And then your life is opened up before them as the surgeon works to repair your heart. And as you come out of that surgery, and God willing, are able to rise into a new day, really in some ways as a new person. For those of you who I've talked with and others who I know who've gone through the experience, it is transformative. It is, in many senses, a coming back from death into a new experience of life. And the ability to do so requires some trust and some courage and the ability to let go, to release control. And as I experienced it with my brother, there was plenty of anxiety. But I think underneath that anxiety, the ability to embody that courage, that ability to let go and to trust, came from a deeper place. It came from a love that was more powerful than the fear and the anxiety and the uncertainty and the unknown. And as he opened his heart and opened his life, I found in some strange and mysterious and transformative ways that my own heart, my own life was opened and even transformed, walking part of that journey with him. There are plenty of reasons to be fearful today. There are plenty of reasons for us to feel like this world is in such a whirlwind of uncertainty and chaos and violence and injustice that all we can do is hold on to what we know, cling on to what's familiar, whether it be another person or a possession or a belief, to somehow gird ourselves against the continuing and increasing storms that surround us and buffer us on all sides. We feel like often, I know I do, like I'm holding on for dear life, not knowing what's going to happen next. And yet I wonder if Jesus, in this story that we're considering this morning, is countering that approach. And asking us the question, what if our calling is not to hold on for dear life, but to let go for real life? Throughout John's story of Jesus, he comes into different circumstances, and often what he'll say in reply to someone's question or request is, "My hour has not yet come. The time has not arrived just yet." And so when Jesus is entering Jerusalem and he says, the hour has come, that's an important statement. In the original language, it's not just a moment in time. He's saying, my hour has come and it's not going away. It's ongoing. There's no turning back. I know what I am about to face. And I can't cling on to anything else to keep me from it. Even though, as you read in some of the other Gospels, he will cling on at certain moments as he's getting closer and closer to his impending doom. And in the midst of that consideration, Jesus uses some familiar language. He says, those who love their life will lose it. And the sense of love there isn't that deeper sense of self-giving love or that kind of brotherly or sisterly or familiarly love or even the love of a good and dear friend. The sense of love that Jesus is using is saying those who are fond of their lives, those who are nostalgic for their lives, will lose them. And so, on the contrary, then when Jesus says those who hate their lives, he's not talking about despising the incredible gift that each of us has been given by God, that miraculous gift of life, but rather those who are willing to not cling on to their nostalgia. Those who are willing to let go of the hazy good old days experience of life. Those who are willing to let go in that sense are the ones who discover life in fresh ways, in new ways, in transformative ways. It's a literary comparison, not a literal comparison. And he says it for a reason. He's trying to communicate that holding on for dear life is not truly loving life in that deeper sense that we're created for. It's like a beloved person that you do, and we say we hold dear certain people in our life. My brother is certainly one of those people in my life. And yet, how often do we recognize in the journey of life that to love that person truly means to let them go? To let them be and become who they are. Whether that's happening right in front of my face or half a world away, wherever life leads. That great theologian Sting once sang, if you love someone, set them free. This is the love of life that Jesus is talking about. And it's a love that truly becomes more fully complete and expressed and embodied when we do release, when we do let go, even in the face of death. Zenbu Earthlin Manuel is a writer and teacher and a Buddhist monk. And she had the opportunity at a fairly young age both to anticipate and then reflect upon the death of both of her parents. And in doing so, she found incredible revelations. She was awakened to things in her life that she didn't realize were there before, or she hadn't experienced in quite the same way. And she writes the following: death can be both terrifying and fascinating. Death, whether our own or others, can be a powerful gateway to complete tenderness. Death widens the river's mouth, loosens our relentless grasp on life, and delivers us closer to the ultimate silence of the earth. The great matter of death is not great because it's scary. It's great because it is profound in its immense capacity to arouse a loving nature within us. Facing death or dealing with death our sight and vision becomes clear. Priorities and omissions are etched in a merciless light. And given the sheer quantity of death around us, why not use this merciless light to better see ourselves and others? After all, everything and everyone is ultimately falling apart. Even when we personally, collectively, are trying to hold things together, which sometimes in life we need to do. But she asked this great question in closing: can falling apart be a liberating force in our lives? And then I wonder about Jesus. I wonder if perhaps Jesus is so infinitely and unconditionally loving, not just because he is divine, but just as much because he is fully human, because Jesus lived his life with an open mind, an open heart, open hands, open spirit, and that he opened himself fully to his mortality, to his own death. And when he does that, he embodies the truth that this openness originated from his innermost being. That innermost being that is fully aware of the complete tenderness and the immensely loving nature, as Manuel describes it. That nature that was within him, and that in correlation, because each of us are children of God, within each of us as well. When it isn't being held hostage by hubris, or buried by brokenness, or asphyxiated by anxiety, or frozen by fear. My brother's openness to embracing his mortality opened him to a deeper experience of that presence within himself. At one point, he and I were talking, and he was absolutely both confounded and amazed by the fact that he was so broadly, widely, and deeply loved. He was talking in part about the responses that people have sent to him in the wake of his surgery and the beginnings of his recovery, not just from his own church community, not just from the people who listened to him on his radio program, but people from elementary school and high school, people from the church we grew up at, people from Moreland Presbyterian Church, most of whom he has never even met. He was speaking partly on that level, this incredible cloud of extended family that has been praying for him and supporting him and affirming and loving him. But as he was sharing, his eyes were reflecting something even deeper, and that was the amazement of the love that gave him life. The love that sustains his life. The love that is recreating his life. And it showed in his emotions. And I have to say, my brother and I, in many ways, are polar opposites. He's the left-brained, rational, type A, organized. And most of you know that I'm not exactly any of those. If he's type A, I'm type Q. And so to see tears welling up in his eyes multiple times with recognition, not just of the affirmation and appreciation outside of himself, but the acceptance and the grace and the love within himself. It was transformative for me just to be around him, but then to reflect myself in my own experience, not just in my relationship with him, who growing up was my best friend and continues to be one of my best friends, but my own experience of life circumstances that have opened me more fully and deeply to that love, and how often that is involved, you guessed it, a letting go. sometimes in the face of death itself. Question for us to consider might be, how might we learn to die, to release, to let go in these senses in order to be more fully alive? How can falling apart liberate us into that deeper connectedness and experience of ourselves, our deepest selves, and our immense capacity for love and compassion and tenderness? An invitation to that comes from the amazing poet Mary Oliver, who wrote these words: "Well, there is time left. There is time left to put one's foot into the door of the grass, which is the mystery, which is death as well as life, and to not be afraid. There is time left to set one's foot in the door of death and to be overcome with amazement." How might each of us be called to let go of fear, anxiety, control for the sake of love? How might coming to this communion table be one step in that direction as we open our hands to receive the gifts of God's presence and grace and love and life? And what kinds of amazement might be waiting for us in that realm of release? Amen.